Hi, this is Rachel McElroy.
Hi, this is Griffin McElroy.
And this is Wonderful.
Thank you for listening to Wonderful. That's going to do it for us. This week on Wonderful. You know what? Let's tack on an extra half
hour. To Maximum
Fun. Thanks to Maximum Fun. Thanks, Bowen and Augustus. This is a show where we talk about things we like that is good, that we are into.
You know who that was for? That was for the people who read like the last page of a book before they like start it, just to see.
God, it would be so helpful to me if I knew how any podcast I recorded was going to end before I got to it. You know what I mean?
That's like a fun little challenge if you're like, wait, weird. We're ending on waffles and peanut butter.
Now, this is arcing towards, trending towards becoming an improv game, which is not the energy I wish to like facilitate.
Hey, Griffin, what's your favorite theater game that you would play?
I mean, the one that I played, and this is my small wonder for this week. Thank you so much. I used to play Freeze all the fucking time with my friends.
Was this where you'd like tag out and enter?
Yes. Or? So you'd have two people doing a little skit, doing a little scene. And when I say this was in a much different time of my life, this was like middle school, high school, peak community theater Griffin era. We would just like, if there was a big enough group of like theater kids gathered around, Freeze would just start happening. It's such a beautiful encapsulation of my childhood. And perhaps if I zoom out far enough, my entire life, where my dad, Clint McElroy, built a basketball, like half basketball court in our backyard, paved over the grass yard that we had to put in a little basketball court back there for us, for his boys to play b-ball on. But whenever I had like friends over, we would just go back there and play Freeze and just do improv games on the b-ball court.
Yeah. I mean, that could be a very active game, you know, depending on how you tag in.
That was not the... None of us were concerned.
Anytime anyone talks about Freeze, I think of that episode of Freaks and Geeks where Millie was a member of this group that was trying to teach kids about the dangers of like drug and alcohol. Uh-huh. And I think they did like a Freeze. Yeah. Okay, so what should we have done?
I think about the episode of The Office where Michael Scott is in an improv class and keeps freezing and turning it like he has a gun and he's an FBI agent there to take them down. Oh, boy. Do you have a small wonder? Because I already did mine, and it was Freeze, the improv game from my childhood.
I am going to say hiding candy from your children.
Yes. Both in a mechanical, like, Easter egg fun way, and we got to get this stuff. We got to put this stuff
away. I wasn't even thinking about that. Henry is not like, he's not obsessed with candy.
If like, he sees candy, he'll be like, oh,
yeah,
cool.
He'll be like, oh, cool, candy. But, we don't really have to hide it from him. He just kind of tapers off on his own. Gus is, ravenous for the stuff. And, we've found that if we hide it, all of a sudden things get better.
Out of sight, out of mind. Eventually. There's a few dicey times when he's like, lollipops, 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 lollipops. One of us has to like distract him with like a colorful ribbon while the other one goes to the secret lollipop cave that we've built in our pantry. We have to input we have to break the codec on the front of it and then retrieve one lollipop before.
It's also good for
back.
Us too, I will say. I'm speaking about it as if it's valuable only to our children, but it is also good for me to not see candy every day.
Yeah, it's hard for me knowing that there is a full, uneaten, like, Hershey's white chocolate rabbit the size of my forearm.
I thought Henry would be super into that because Henry has
there's two of those untouched in our pantry right now. Last night I was like, I'm gonna have myself a little snackerel. I knew if I went after that bunny, it would be a bad situation. I don't know that I would be able to stop it. And then also if the kids were like, I think I'm ready for my bunny now, and you'd be like, well, here's his torso.
That's what's different about Easter, right? Like Halloween, all the candy you can kind of sneak in and out, but Easter, like, it comes in different shapes.
Yes. We can't re-gift the white chocolate Easter bunny.
Yeah, well, and you also can't have a little bit and put it back. Like, it will be noticeable.
That's true. I will say you are going out of town this weekend. I'm probably going to...
Just treat yourself.
I'll probably eat one of the bunnies while you're gone.
And when you say this weekend, you mean last weekend because
that doesn't matter to the
audience. We're recording the episode. Well, I mean,
that's how production works, folks.
Accuracy.
It's December 2023. That's how far ahead of the game we are. You go first this week.
I do.
What do you got?
Okay, my wonderful thing this week is actually something I'm sporting right now, and that is the pigtail.
Yes.
Specifically two. I don't know. If you have one, it's kind of just like a ponytail.
Yeah, I think that's the differentiator. What is it if you have three?
I don't know that there's a word for that.
And there's nothing that has three tails. But then again, pigs don't have two tails.
True. Well, actually, you'll come to find out that pigtails are not, in fact, named after the pig's tail itself.
Yeah, I figured that would probably be part of the discussion.
Oh, man.
The etymology.
Yeah, but weren't you thinking like, oh, I know what this is. This is
Can I be
pig.
Honest, babe? Never thought about it before. Even once in my life.
Well, welcome.
I've never had pigtails.
Welcome to the thought.
Thank you. It's nice to be here.
Yeah. I love pigtails. I have... Probably since high school, my hair has never been particularly long. I mean, I would say like 80% of my life, my hair has not been long.
I was
going
to say, when you were pregnant with Gus, your hair was
Yeah, and my hair got really long in college because I just didn't get it cut for 4 years.
Yeah.
Or maybe even more than that. It was a long time. But most of my life, I couldn't really do a pigtail. And then in high school, I realized it's actually a much more accessible hairstyle for me than a ponytail because you need less hair to do it.
Interesting.
Yeah. So for me, I can't, with my hair the length it is now, I can't do a ponytail because like half the hair will fall out in front of my face.
Right.
But given the placement of these guys, like
on the sides of the
yeah,
head.
Like I don't need as much hair.
I've never really thought about hair.
Period.
I've only recently started thinking about hair, period. But I've never thought about hair sort of how it is dispersed around the head.
And yeah.
How the physics
this
of that,
is,
I guess.
This is like a whole new thing for you this episode.
Yeah. I mean, I've only sort of just figured out like oil, like hair oil, like how to make your hair feel nicer.
Yeah.
The idea that then I would chart the orientation of each of my discrete hairs is a new concept to me.
Yeah. So now when I do fitness primarily, I will put my hair in the pigtails to keep it out of my face.
Yes.
I don't do it really much out in the world because I think, and I'll talk about this a little bit, like it's been kind of infantilized and like hypersexualized for adult women to wear pigtails.
It's a fucking gnarly combo, dude.
Yeah, it's very true. So I'm always hesitant to bring it into the world because, I mean, one, I feel kind of old for it also, you know, because it's very much associated with like
a, is that cute, Britney?
A cute look for children. Yeah, Britney was one of the trailblazers. I mean, trailblazers in the sense that she like brought it back and made it like a signature thing.
Yeah, for sure. What was the one she did? Was that Oops, I Did It Again? Where she did it.
Or was it Baby One More Time?
No, Baby One More Time was like the red jumpsuit. That was like, right? Yeah. Wasn't that? And then Oops, I Did It Again, I think was like the sort of schoolgirl.
I think Oops is right.
Yeah.
They just call it Oops when
they
you're
just call it Oops in the Britney community. That must have been 75 years ago.
Yeah. That's a good point, actually.
I can't, please don't. Oh, Jesus.
You don't want me to look it up?
I'll turn into the crypt keeper in front of you.
Oh, no, you're wrong. Oops, I Did It Again is the red outfit.
Oh, well, then what was the...
I think Baby One More Time.
Hit me, babe. Wow, I can't believe I got those mixed them all up.
Well, it's been 100 years.
Yeah. I know Toxic, that was like the cool like flight attendant.
Yeah, Baby One More Time was the pigtail look.
Interesting. Wow.
Well, I'm finished.
So that's the end of Rachel's segment. Rachel's segment is being able to tell the difference between Britney Spears songs and then corresponding music videos and outfits therein.
Okay, so pigtails. The history of, interestingly enough, there's definitely a connection to 17th century American colonies because... the term pigtail was used to describe a twist of chewing tobacco.
Now, okay. Okay.
One of the steps in processing tobacco was to twist a handful of leaves together. The term pigtail was applied to the bunch based on its resemblance to a twisted pigtail.
Okay, cool. I mean, I guess. Cool, I guess.
From the later 17th to 19th century, the term came to be applied to any braided hairstyle.
Okay. So it was sort of a Venn diagram catch-all.
Yeah, kind of the pigtail braid is, I think, how it really got connected. And then now, you know, it doesn't have to be a braid to be considered a pigtail.
We should start language over because there's so much of like etymology that dates back to shit that just nobody gives a shit about anymore, right? Like, I feel like back in the day, you think about, okay, guys, gang, for 200 years, we're going to name this incredibly common hairstyle after twisted up this tobacco. But now it's like that would be sort of a wild thing to sort of base an entire language on.
Uh-huh.
So let's start over.
Start over. And just like Men in Black style, you just wipe everybody's memory?
No, there would be you would get a book in the mail.
Of all the new expressions that you're
like
supposed
pigtails
to use.
That's done. That's so wild that we call it that still.
Apparently in Japan, hair bunches are called twin tails.
Okay.
Which is fun. I mean, you'll see pigtails a lot in anime.
Yeah.
You know,
sure.
Like a Sailor Moon.
Tell me more. Tell me anything else. What else do you see in anime a lot, my love?
Hatsune Miku.
Not really. Okay.
Not anime, doesn't count.
Not particularly anime, but okay.
You know what's funny is that I have pulled up a website and I am still having difficulty naming anything else.
You're looking at
a
website of anime hairstyles?
I'm looking at a website that talks about the pigtail's connection to anime.
Okay, cool.
Ako-chan?
Yeah.
That's one.
Okay. Half our audience is just like, yeah.
She said Ako-chan,
she did it.
if you do some research on pigtails, you will see like there's 20 articles from 20 different years saying they're back. I found one from 2022 that says pigtails are the latest 90s trend to come back from Glamour magazine.
But then is there one from the 90s? Like, pigtails are the latest 70s trend to come back.
There's one. Well, I guess it's a lot of it's recent. And there was also, speaking to what I said earlier about the kind of the weird, like, sexualization.
Yeah.
In 2022, there was apparently a TikTok trend where women in the service industry talked about how they made significantly more tips when they wore pigtails.
Huh.
And so everybody was kind of trying it out, and it was pretty much universally found to be true.
Wow.
So there's something there.
Maybe it's also, though, when your hair is sort of that functionally out of your way, you can just, you know.
You can go faster.
You can go so much faster. Just a devil's advocate for all the dudes out there. Maybe it's just that the pigtails let them do the work better.
Maybe it's not a horny thing.
It doesn't all have to be a horny thing.
Maybe it's like, I recognize you because of your distinct hairstyle, and I really appreciated the work you've done.
The aerodynamic quality. It's like you've got two wings back there.
Uh-huh.
Incredible.
Yeah.
I notice you've shut your computer. Is that all we have? Kick ass, man.
I mean, there's tons more to say about pigtails, but yeah. I'm going to...
Who's got the time?
Who's got the time?
Yeah. I love it. Can I steal you away?
Yes.
Thank you. We all got needs. And to satisfy those needs, we subscribe to different services to fulfill those needs. Some of them are pretty dang good at it, if I do say so myself. But then you put away your childish things. You say, I don't have a need for a string cheese subscription service.
I keep receiving this huge box of string cheese every month and immediately throwing it away.
Yeah.
Maybe I should not receive this huge box of string cheese every month.
But you forget, don't you? So easily.
I know.
Your many subscriptions you've scattered, like Johnny Appleseed to his apple seeds. Well, Rocket Money is here to help. Rocket Money is a personal finance app that finds and cancels your unwanted subscriptions, monitors your spending, and helps you lower your bills so that you can grow your savings. I've used Rocket Money before, and it found, not a joke, maybe six things that I had completely forgotten about. Like, maybe about $50 a month worth of shit that I just completely did not know, nor did I interface with the things that I was subscribing to.
Yeah, it's like that. We got that one app that promised to show us hockey and then almost entirely stopped showing us hockey.
Yep. And Rocket Money was like, you're not watching the hockey anymore. The Blues lost and not in the playoffs. Anyway, Rocket Money is fantastic, and we recommend using it if you think you might have some of those phantom subs. Cancel your unwanted subscriptions by going to rocketmoney.com/wonderful. That's rocketmoney.com/wonderful. One last time, rocketmoney.com/wonderful. Folks, I'm recording this ad by myself because Rachel, she did something totally wild. She hopped on her electric e-bike, and she was like, I am out of here. And then she zoomed off. She hit a ramp and flew up in the sky like an E.T. movie, and just went so fast that I was like, dang, where'd my wife even go? And she yelled from over the horizon on a bike adventure. And so I have to celebrate that. I have to cheer for her on that. This bike that Rachel got from Electric E-Bike, it is one, very sleek and stylish. It looks fast because it is. The battery lasts forever. It shows up at your door, ships for free. It's got a quick toolless assembly, and you can even fold it up for easy travel and storage. It is the perfect time of year to have a sweet little bike for yourself to go on your own bike adventures away from your husband. Anyway, go full throttle into spring with Electric E-Bikes, the number one selling e-bikes in the nation. Get your adventure started at electricebikes.com, and please mention that Wonderful sent you in the post-checkout survey. That's electricebikes.com.
Are you tired of being picked on for only wanting to talk about your cat at parties?
Do you feel as though your friends don't understand the depth of love you have for your guinea pig?
When you look around a room of people, do you wonder if they know sloths only have to eat one leaf a month?
Have you ever dumped someone for saying they're just not an animal person?
Us too.
She's Alexis B. Preston.
She's Ella McLeod.
And we host Comfort Creatures, the show where you can't talk about your pets too much, animal trivia is our love language, and dragons are just as real as dinosaurs.
Tune in to Comfort Creatures every Thursday on Maximum Fun.
What is up, people of the world? Do you have an argument that you keep having with your friends and you just can't seem to settle it? And you're sitting there arguing about whether it's Star Trek or Star Wars, or you can't decide what is the best nut, or can't agree on what is the best cheese?
Stop doing that. Listen to We Got This with Mark and Hal, only on Max Fun.
Your topics asked and answered objectively, definitively, for all time.
So don't worry, everybody. We got this.
We got this.
Follow up. I meant to ask you this during your segment, but I forgot. How do you feel about cowtails, the candy?
I don't know that I've ever had one.
Have you seen them?
Is that like a sugar daddy kind of? No?
It's not like a sugar daddy. Cowtails are the long, they look like Slim Jims. They're long tubes, but they're like caramel with a little, just a ribbon of cream.
Do you always say caramel?
Now that it's one of those words, babe, that as soon as I say, how do you say caramel?
I think so.
Caramel. I can't do it. I feel like this was a staple treat at concession stands for like kids' sporting events. And I loved a cowtail. They cost the same as all the other candy, but it took you way fucking longer to eat it because it was really big and super chewy and also kind of gross.
And the ROI on that candy.
The ROI was outrageous.
Yeah, no, I don't think I've ever had one before.
Fun Dip was like kind of a sucker's game concession stand wise because you could slam one of those like so quick and then you have to balance out stick and powder. We've talked about Fun Dip excessively on this show already, but cowtails are where it's at. You know what else is where it's at?
Okay.
The music production speedrun community. I've talked about speedrunning a lot on this show because I think it's a very entertaining pastime that I, you know, at the very least twice a year get very into with the Games Done Quick marathons. It is sometimes nice to like when your algorithm serves you up a piece of content and you know exactly why it served you up that specific piece of content. In the case of like videos about the music production speedrun community, it knows I love music theory and like composition videos and like music production tips, and also video game speedruns. Well, combine them all and you get this incredibly niche like genre of content. That, as far as I can tell, it started in February 2022. There is a music producer and teacher named Simon Servita who posted a video that was supposed to be a joke, in which he trained himself to recreate the first 40 seconds of the song Crank That Soulja Boy in FL Studio, which is a digital audio workspace like Logic or Ableton, which is what I mostly use when I make stuff for Taz. This is FL Studio. FL stands for Fruity Loops, if that rings a bell. It is like it's one of the oldest sort of like beginner amateur music like production studios like ever, but it's kind of come a long way since then.
Can you explain to me, because I don't know a lot about these different platforms you use. If you figure out like the note sequence,
yes,
like isn't it just a matter of like picking those notes really fast? Like what is the challenge of speedrunning it?
Well, it comes down to the fact that, yes, a lot of it is sort of like, twitchiness and accuracy as you are, you know, clicking. In Fruity Loops, everything is very visual. It is, what's the acronym? WYSIWYG. What you see is what you get. So, like, as you click around, you just, like, click where the notes are and you can drop it in. So it's not quite as, like, you're not playing any instruments or anything like that. You're not using, like, a MIDI controller, like a MIDI keyboard. In these speed runs, it's all mouse clicks and copying and pasting. Okay. And
so like it's not artful. Like I can type like CCBBA.
No. It's the interface is it does not work like that. Okay. It is dropping notes on a timeline, right? Like you would see in a video editing suite or anything along those lines. FL Studio famously like very easy to use for this specific thing, right? It doesn't have a bunch of tools to help you like it's super granularly tweak and augment like different parts of the arrangement. It is very much like make some loops really fucking quick and get it out the door, right? A lot of like old school, well, not old school, like Fruity Loops isn't that old, but hip hop producers from the aughts used FL Studio to make like beats like pretty fast for a lot of different purposes. But now you can do it really fucking fast if you know what you're doing, because this guy Simon Servita, he recreated the first 40 seconds of Crank That Soulja Boy in FL Studio in 37.39 seconds. That is faster than the song itself, which is kind of remarkable. Obviously, Crank That Soulja Boy is longer than 40 seconds, but not really, because it's basically just the first 40 seconds over and over again. If this story was just that, it would still be very entertaining, because watching a man sort of slam his hands against a keyboard and mouse until Crank That Soulja Boy happens is like, it's just an incredible use of anyone's time. So this video, it's still up. You can still go watch it. He ended the video asking people to not try and beat this record, because he worked really hard on it and it took him a really, really long time. And of course, it's the internet, so nobody listened. And tons of producers on YouTube and TikTok and Instagram all started trying to beat the record, this 40-second Crank That speedrun record, because the concept really lent itself to short form videos, right? You think about like all the things that make you watch a YouTube short or something as you're like scrolling through it. Maybe this is, I don't know if you watch a lot of YouTube shorts, if not being forced to by our children.
Yeah, only with the children.
Yeah. You're scrolling through and you see somebody frantically clicking on a keyboard and you're like, what the fuck is it? What are they doing? And then you just start to hear that steel drum hit of like bump, 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 bump. Over and over and over again. You're like, wait, is he making Crank That Soulja Boy in 30 seconds, in 20 seconds? Like,
yeah,
you're going to watch that because it's short and familiar and like pretty interesting to watch. The current record is held by a producer who makes like a ton of music speedrunning content named Rob TMB. He makes a lot of like beats. He has like a 5-second beat that he has put together that sounds pretty good. His record, he has knocked the whole thing out, the 40-second Crank That Soulja Boy speedrun record, in about 14 seconds.
Wow.
It is truly spectacular to see somebody moving this deftly and expertly around a music timeline to flawlessly and accurately recreate this chart-topping hit of the early 2000s. It is a ton of shit that you do in a very short amount of time when you are making specifically this record. There are 8 instruments that have to be loaded in. 5 are for the beat. You have like your kick and your snare and your like hi-hat and, you know, claps. I think there's a couple other things. Then there's like an orchestra hit that only really happens once per like 4 bars. And then, you know, you got to get in that steel drum melody, which is kind of the iconic part of the song. There's like a little bit of piano that goes in there. And then there's a cymbal sound effect that is reversed that goes into the stew, right?
Yeah.
So you have to take all those clips, put them in the timeline, add them and remove those sections to recreate the 40 seconds of the song. Now, what do I love about this? A lot. it is genuinely fascinating to see somebody produce a song this fast. I think about music production mostly because, like, this is true for me, as something that takes a long time, a really, really long time, from like conceptualizing to like, you know, laying down the first stuff and then just polishing the arrangement over and over and over and over and over and over again until you get it where you want it. And then you start to like mix it to make sure it all sounds good in relation to each other and master it so it sounds like good as one whole thing. Like, it takes a really, really long time. So seeing someone do this in an extremely short amount of time
is
really impressive. It's something that I could watch a lot of. It's also fascinating when it's like a familiar song and you see somebody just really confidently just bump, 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 like put in the steel drum hits that fast is interesting. The other thing that I love is for this category and others like it, after someone completes their run and they stop the timer and they see their time, before they can feel like they've done it, they have to listen to their work, which sets up a situation where you watch a grown adult listen to Crank That Soulja Boy with bated breath. The videos where people beat the record and then are like, okay. And then like they always have like the live chat because they're doing it live of people like, holy shit, what's up YouTube world record? But before they can celebrate, they have to listen to Crank That Soulja Boy, and just watching them with each like passing, like the reverse cymbal hits and they realize they did it right and they're like, yes. And then they, the trap like drums kick in at the right time. They're like, yes, yes. And just like pop off to crank that Soulja Boy that they have put together is one of the funniest juxtapositions of song being listened to and human emotion being expressed that is like imaginable. I think it makes sense that this genre started with Crank That Soulja Boy, since that song was made in a cracked version of Fruity Loops back in, you know, whenever that song came out, 2002, maybe 2003. But from there, this little like esoteric speedrun like genre became like a whole thing that lots of music producers do now. There's folks that make like just fucking exceptional original beats in less than a minute. There's challenges to, I've seen a couple videos where people try to produce a whole album in one day, which is like, leads to like a panicked composition that is like kind of fun to watch. There's like trap rhythm speed runs, like huge arena EDM riff speed runs to like recreate Chainsmokers songs, which is also shockingly easy, apparently. You know, speed runs to create like hour long lo-fi hip hop tracks. There's so many different like iterations of this like one idea that spun out of this one guy's video that he did to recreate the first 40 seconds of Crank That Soulja Boy. And I love being able to kind of like follow the path of like an extremely specific thing that caters to my extremely specific interests over the course of the last like 2 years. Yeah, obviously like the people who are doing this are almost always like not coming up with the song itself on the fly. Rather, they're just sort of like exhibiting their muscle memory and mastery over, you know, creating a chord progression or a beat or like whatever in a short amount of time. But even that, I don't know. It is really appealing to me to have this thing that just scratches so many different itches for me of people practicing to do something really fast and also making music that they then listen back to with a celebratory nature that defies explanation. So that's the music production.
Yeah, it's interesting to think about speed rums because usually it's just like an instantaneous thing,
yes.
You know, where you like are watching it happen and you know if you're successful as you were doing it.
Right.
This is like an interesting spin
there's
on that.
There's a delayed pop-off, which is very, very fun. Thank you so much for listening. We already did this part at the beginning of the show, but thanks again to Bowen and Augustus for the use of our theme song, Money Won't Pay. You can find a link to that in the episode description. Thanks to everybody who supported us in the Max Fun Drive. We have not had time yet to record the second part of our Bachelor recap for Rose Buddies. We apologize for that. Rachel is traveling at some point in relation to time when you are hearing this, but we are hoping to get that up this week. So thank you for your patience in that. We have some new merch up in the McElroy merch
store. Yeah, there's a wombat pin.
There is a wombat pin inspired by Wonderful. It has a little chain dangling off the back with small poop cubes on it. It is adorable and wonderful. And there's some other stuff up on the merch store too over at McElroyMerch.com. And 10% of all proceeds this month will go to the Palestine Children's Relief Fund. Thank you so much for listening. Thanks for thanks. Thank you so much. We owe you a lot. We are in your debt. And if you ever need a ride from the airport, then don't. That would be wild.
Yeah, that would be hard, I think, for us to deliver on.
Yeah. If you live in D.C., even that, like, come, that's a.
Wow, there's a lot of airports in proximity to us.
We'll probably go to the wrong freaking one, you know? Traffic. In DC. Let's talk about these terrible laws of narrowcasting.
Yeah.
Oh boy.
Maximum Fun.
A worker-owned network
of artist-owned shows. Supported
directly
by you.